Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week, we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new, and some are timeless. Join us as we travel this week to the Caribbean Sea. The Caribbean is just south of Florida in the United States. It has hundreds of beautiful islands. The original inhabitants were the Carib Indians, which is how the sea got its name. These were the people that Christopher Columbus first met when he traveled from Europe and discovered the Americas. A great part of the beauty of this area is underwater. Large coral reefs with millions of colorful fish are everywhere. The water is turquoise blue and so clear that you can look down and see the bottom where it's not too deep. The sand is so wonderful. You can sink your feet in it, and it feels like the softest of cotton. We're going to begin today with a story from the island of Curaçao. It's called The Queen of the Crows. Once upon a time, on the island of Curaçao, there lived a young girl named Toey. One thing distinguished Toey from all the others, and that was her astonishing voice. When Toey sat inside weaving cotton into cloth, she invented songs to celebrate the animals. As she toiled, she dreamed of a handsome prince, and she imagined marrying him. One day, Toey sat at home alone, working at her loom. She began to sing. Suddenly, a young man appeared in the doorway. He was dressed like a warrior prince. Toey continued to sing and said nothing to the stranger, for she understood that he did not exist, and that he was merely a figment of her imagination. The next day, as Toey carried a bucket of water home from the river, the warrior prince appeared in front of her. "I am dreaming," she sang. Toey walked on, but suddenly the warrior lifted the bucket from her hands, and he carried it all the way home. After that, each time Toey began to sing, the warrior prince appeared, but never did he speak to her. Then, one fine summer day, as Toey was walking through a cactus grove, a flock of crows swooped out of the sky and began following her. Toey picked up a stone to throw at them, for like the other villagers, she thought the crows a nuisance. "Go away," she cried, tossing stones at them. But suddenly the warrior prince appeared before her. "Stop," he said, and took her hand in his. "You're not real," Toey said, astonished. The warrior prince transformed into Cromoe, king of the crows. Cromoe took one of Toey's braids in his beak and flew into the sky, pulling her along with him into the bright blue sky. Never again was Toey seen on earth. People say she became queen of the crows, and ever since that time, custom has it that a bride and groom will be lucky in marriage when two crows fly overhead on their wedding day. These, they say, are the queen and king of the crows. The Caribbean Sea is so important to the people who live there that they have a legend called The Origin of the Sea. It's a short little tale that is quite filled with imagination. There was a man named Yahya who had a son, Yahyael, whose name means son of Yahya. Yahyael wanted to leave and run away. When Yahya found out that his son wanted to run far away, he said, "Okay, but never come back." His son said, "Father, I will leave, but if you want me to return, take these bones that I give you now and shake them. I'll hear and come back." Yahya put his son's bones in a gourd, which he hung from a ceiling of his house, and there hung for some time. One day, Yahya wanted to see his son and said to his wife, "I want to see our son, Yahyael." His wife felt great joy, brought the gourd to her husband, and turned it over to empty out the son's bones. Large and small fish came out of the gourd, and they realized that their son's bones had turned into fish and decided to eat them. Later one day, when Yahya was out in his kanukos, which means possessions or lands, the four children of a woman named Itiba Tahuvava came to his house. Their mother had died, giving birth to the four, and the first one to be born was Serenidad, whose name means beautiful and serene. The others did not have names. Itiba Tahuvabha's four identical sons went together to seal Yahya's gourd, where the bones his son Yahya El had given him were kept. Of the four brothers, only one dared to bring the gourd down from its place, but all four ate the fish they found inside it. While they were eating, they heard Yahya returning from his konukos, and in the confusion that followed, when they tried to put the gourd back in its place, it fell and broke. People say that so much water came out of the gourd that it covered the whole earth, and along with the water, fish of all sizes came out too. This, according to a Taino myth, is the origin of the sea. Our third story today is about a frog and a fox. Foxes don't live on any of the islands in the Caribbean, but they do live along the edges of the sea in Central America. So here is the frog and the fox. A frog was having a bath in a puddle in the middle of the jungle. He appeared quite happy splashing about in the water. A fox passed by that place. "What are you up there in the mud, you slimy creature?" asked the fox contemptuously. "None of your business," croaked the frog, turning over in the mud once more. "You really are a weird specimen," said the fox. "How can you go about with one pair of short legs and one pair of extra long ones?" "You better watch out, you with your hairy nose," replied the frog. "I'm the fastest frog in this whole jungle." The fox laughed dismissively. "Tell you what," said the frog, puffing himself up to twice his size, "I bet I'm quicker than you. We'll have a race to prove it." The fox couldn't believe what she was hearing. "You quicker than me? You slimy little toad. Very well, we'll have a race. Meet me at the guava tree, 12 o'clock sharp." They met at the appointed hour. Frog had brought along his friend, Duck. Duck had a very good voice, so he was going to shout out the starting signal. They stood at the starting line, ready to dash off. Duck quacked the start signal. Fox started running. Frog, standing on his hind legs, took one almighty leap and landed on the fox's tail, where he hung on. Fox was so concentrated on her running that she did not notice a thing. After having sprinted as fast as she could for a few minutes, Fox stopped and turned around. She laughed. Frog was nowhere to be seen. She knew she had already won the race. All she had to do now was saunter along at a gentler pace. All the time, Frog was hanging on to Fox's tail, unobserved. The finish line approached, and Fox decided to make a little sprint, just for show. Just then, Frog flung himself onto Fox's back, and standing on his hind legs, made another almightily terrific jump. He landed over the finish lane just as Fox was about to cross it. Frog jumped up and down. "I've won! I've won!" Fox was incandescent with rage. "You cheat! You slimy, spotty little cheat!" Frog just laughed. "I was first to cross the line," he said. "You lost." Fox turned to Duck, but Duck agreed that Frog was the winner. Frog won the race fair and square, he quacked. From that time on, whenever a fox passes a frog, it lifts its tail high up in the air. You are listening to Gima's Tales for Children on KCIW LP 100.7 in Brookings, Oregon. This episode ends with a story that takes place entirely underwater. It's really an underwater fairy tale. The title is The Grumpy Cuttlefish, and in case you aren't sure what a cuttlefish is, another name you might know better is squid. Squid come in all sizes, from tiny creatures no more than a few inches long to giant behemoths that live in the deepest of oceans and have been known to fight great whales and win. This story is about one of the smallest of cuttlefish. He's just a little guy. I selected this one because it describes some of the coral reefs in the Caribbean. There's also a large shell, which is quite popular and delicious to eat. The conch shell, C-O-N-C-H, is how it's spelled, but is pronounced in the Caribbean as conch. So here's the grumpy cuttlefish. He didn't know why everyone called him grumpy. He didn't think he was at all. Cullybert just liked to be alone. He didn't have a lot of friends, But then, he had no desire to spend time with the other cuttlefish. All they seemed to do was swim around in circles. And Cullibert liked to explore and discover new places, which made his travels far from where the other cuttlefish liked to roam. He couldn't remember a time when he had real friends. Yes, he knew the other cuttlefish, but they always seemed to be indifferent to him. Maybe part of it was his fault. He wasn't very outgoing. In fact, some would call him shy. But still, he just hadn't been able to make much of a connection with the others. And then there was the unspoken difference, the big one. Cullibert was light pink. How he was born pink was a mystery. None of the other cuttlefish were pink. They were white, pure white like the ocean foam. He hadn't really thought much about it until one day another cuttlefish had exclaimed, "Look at you! You're a different color than the rest of us. How odd is that?" And then all the other cuttlefish had gathered round and started to poke and prod at him. Embarrassed, he had blushed, which only turned him even pinker. So it wasn't surprising that he had withdrawn from the others. He actually started to avoid them because inevitably one or another would try to embarrass him so that he would blush and turn even pinker, and then everyone would start laughing like it was some kind of joke. Cullibert didn't think it was a joke at all, but he never said anything. He just got angry, and then he started to wander off on his own, which led to everyone thinking he was grumpy. One day, as he was exploring a new cave, far from his family's home at the bottom of the ocean, he saw something amazing. There, drifting with the currents, was a jellyfish, the most beautiful jellyfish he had ever seen. It glowed with colors of pink, lavender, and palest blue. Its long tendrils floating behind it seemed to be filled with little flowers of white and pink frills. And it was so bright, the water around it actually glowed. Pink! It was so pink that Cullibert felt pale in comparison. His little heart swelled with excitement. So there were other things that were pink in the ocean, just like him. Drifting closer, he looked up into the tendrils. They seemed to beckon him to move into their midst. Almost hypnotized, Cullibert couldn't seem to help himself. He slowly circled one tendril and then drifted into their midst. How beautiful it was! Suddenly, he felt a strong tug on one of his arms. He was jerked out of the tendrils and back into the dark of the ocean. Sputtering, he managed to exclaim, "What are you doing? Stop that!" He looked back at whatever was tugging at him and saw another cuttlefish. "Who are you and why did you do that?" he practically yelled, angry now that something had taken him away from that beautiful forest of gloriously pink tendrils.
"Don't you realize you could have been killed?" said the other cuttlefish. "That was a jellyfish, and those tendrils are quite poisonous. All I did was save you."
With a grunt of disgust, the other cuttlefish backed away.
"Go your own way, then, and see if I'll save you next time," it cried as it started to swim away.
"Wait, wait," said Cullibert. "Are you serious? That beautiful thing is poisonous?"
"Of course," replied the other cuttlefish. "Why else do you think I'd do something like that?"
Cullibert felt embarrassed. "I just didn't know any better. I do thank you, really."
He had a sudden thought. "It was pink. No wonder everyone thinks I'm strange. The one thing I find that is pink is poisonous."
The other cuttlefish kept moving back into the dark of the ocean floor, and Cullibert felt the urge to follow it, so he moved along in the same direction. He was curious about this other cuttlefish. It was the first time in a very long time that any other cuttlefish had shown an interest in him, and on top of that, this particular cuttlefish seemed to know a lot. So he followed, curious about where it was going and who it was. Finally, the other cuttlefish stopped moving and, spinning around, faced Cullibert.
"You're Cullibert, aren't you?" it asked.
"Yes, that's my name," replied Cullibert. "How did you know that?"
"Because you were alone," replied the other. "I don't know any other cuttlefish that move around alone." It paused and then continued. "Besides me, that is."
"Well, at least he didn't point out that I'm pink," thought Cullibert. "That's right," replied Cullibert. "I don't get along too well with the others," and he lowered his head as he felt a twinge of sadness. "So why are you out here all alone?"
The other cuttlefish regarded him with a thoughtful look and then said,
"Well, I travel alone because I like it. I like being alone."
Curious now, Culebert swam closer. "So what's your name?" he asked.
"I'm Patimo."
"Hey, that's a new one. Name that is," said Culebert. "I haven't heard that before."
Patimo's eyes narrowed and his eight arms stretched out so he appeared tall and slightly menacing. He leaned forward and in a low, serious voice said, "That's right. My family traveled here from a place very far away. Back where my family came from, Patimo is a normal name. In fact, we don't call ourselves cuttlefish. We're calamari."
"Oh, hey, I didn't mean to say it was a bad name," said Culebert. He really didn't want to anger this cuttlefish, or calamari. After all, it had saved his life.
"I just meant it was different," he gave a little laugh.
"Speaking of different, you haven't mentioned the fact that I'm..." Culebert paused. His eyes looked down, and he lowered his little head. "I'm, well, kind of a little different color."
"Pink," Patimo said the word as if it were a pronouncement. "You're pink. Why, I've seen all sorts of things in my wanderings that are pink. It's quite a popular color in the reef near where we live," he added.
"Really?" asked Culebert.
"Yes, of course," replied Patimo. "Pink fish, pink shrimp, pink crabs, pink shells, pink coral. Why, it's pretty common, really."
Culebert felt a little proud. Pink was a popular color, just not something that cuttlefish were. And here was another cuttlefish that didn't even call himself a cuttlefish. He was a calamari, different in his own way from the others.
"Well, thank you, Patimo," said Culebert. "You know, I'm like you. I don't have much to do with the other cuttlefish. Would you mind terribly if I drifted along with you?"
He quickly added, "Just for a while, of course." Patimo took a moment to answer, and then he smiled a little smile and said,
"Okay, we can travel together just for a while."
And so began an unusual friendship. Two cuttlefish that for one reason or another didn't like to be part of a group had found a kindred spirit in the other. Patimo and Culebert spent a lot of time together. Sometimes they would leave each other to hunt for little fish or explore the ocean floor, but eventually they found their way back to one another. And Patimo took Culebert out on long trips to show him the reefs near the shoreline, places where all kinds of pink things lived. The first time Patimo took him to a reef, he showed Culebert a large coral fan. It was a beautiful pale pink.
"Not as pink as you, but come on, I'll show you something even pinker," said Patimo.
He cruised slowly along the bottom at the edge of the coral, moving his eyes back and forth. Suddenly, he stopped, so quickly that Culebert almost ran into him.
"Here it is," said Patimo. "Take a look at this guy."
Culebert looked at what Patimo was floating above. It was a large shell, he could see that much, but it looked white.
"It's not pink, Patimo, it's white."
Patimo gave him a little smile.
"Ah, but wait till you see what's on the other side."
And he reached down with two of his arms and grabbed onto the top of the shell. Culebert watched as Patimo pulled and pulled and pulled, but nothing happened. Panting a little, Patimo turned to his friend.
"Come on, help me, Culebert. Let's turn it over."
Culebert reached down with two of his arms, and with both of them pulling and shoving, gradually the shell rolled over onto the sandy bottom. There was a large, flat animal inside with two little horns, but as it rolled over, the entire thing seemed to roll up inside of the shell, leaving a beautiful, shiny, pink surface exposed for all to see.
"Now that's pink!" exclaimed Patimo.
It was, thought Culebert, beautiful and pink. "What is it?" he asked. "And is it poisonous like the jellyfish?" Patimo smiled at his new friend.
"Nah, this one's just a shell, and that thing that lives in it can move around a little, but mostly it just crawls along the bottom. It's a conch shell, pronounced conch. I guess you'd really hurt yourself if one conched you on the head."
And he laughed out loud. Culebert joined in the laughter, and they both watched as, slowly, the muscular body uncurled as it realized it was upside down. Two little horns appeared and wriggled around.
"That's how it sees," whispered Patimo. He added, "Come on, help me turn it back over. If we don't, it'll just lay there until something comes along and eats it."
Together they reached their arms down and helped the creature turn over. Backing off,
They started to drift back along the coral reef.
"So there," said Patimo, "something that's pinker than you are. I told you so."
Culebert was delighted to have seen the conch shell, not to mention the variety of other pink creatures that lived at the reef. He started to feel like he wasn't that different after all. At least, he felt that way when he was with Patimo. If either one was asked if they were friends, they would always answer, "No, we're just hanging together for a while." But the truth was, they were friends in every sense of the word. The other cuttlefish just ignored them. They were so different, choosing not to travel with the group. Culebert's mother, on the other hand, was delighted. "At last he found someone he can be friends with," said his mother. His father just grunted, "Yeah, but he's not ever going to amount to much if he doesn't join the others." His mother was silent. She knew he was right. If he didn't join the school of cuttlefish, eventually, how would he ever find a wife, have children? "Well, at least it's a start," she said. Patimo's family embraced Culebert with open arms. When they finally met him, they circled around him, exclaiming in admiration over his color. "How beautiful you are!" exclaimed Patimo's mother. Culebert was truly flattered. These were the first cuttlefish who had ever admired him, except, of course, for his own family. And Patimo's grandfather told him an amazing story. Grandpa had made the trip with his family from the other side of the ocean when he was just a baby. In their travels, they had met many creatures. He stared down at Culebert with a soft look in his eye as he exclaimed that part of their journey had taken them to a place where they had met a whole group of cuttlefish who were pink. "Really?" asked Culebert, and his little legs wriggled with excitement.
"Yes, indeed," replied Patimo's grandfather. "In fact," and his eyes twinkled, "they thought we were the strange ones because we are so pale." He added, "We calamari have traveled far and seen many things. There are far stranger things in this great ocean than pink cuttlefish."
The two started spending more time together. They explored far from the other cuttlefish, and even though they didn't have the safety of the school to protect them, as long as Culebert and Patimo stayed away from the larger fish that could eat them, they knew they were safe. It was important for them to be careful. Cuttlefish don't have any protection. They can swim fast, and just like octopus, when threatened, they can spurt out black ink, but they cannot defend themselves. They drifted along together, watching carefully for the little shrimps and crabs they liked to eat, until the day when a terrible thing happened. Returning from their hunt with full bellies, heading towards the large school of cuttlefish, while they didn't spend much time with them, they did occasionally like to visit the school. Of course, they always hung out on the outskirts of the group, most often to catch the news of the day. But this particular day, something was different. As they swam back over the ocean floor, they saw what seemed to be thick ropes of dark brown seaweed all woven together, stretching along the floor for as far as they could see. Patimo was nervous.
"This doesn't look right," he said.
Culebert looked down at the ropey net below him and swam down to look closely at it. "It doesn't seem to be moving," he replied.
"I know that," replied Patimo with a bit of impatience in his voice, "but it's not normal. It's not supposed to be here."
Well, he was right about that, thought Culebert. He'd never seen it here before, that was for sure.
"Should we do something about it?" he asked. "I don't know yet," said Patimo. "Let's check on the others." And he continued with a little more speed than usual in the direction of the school.
Suddenly, the floor of the ocean seemed to move, and the giant webby net seemed to shudder and rise from the bottom. Both Patimo and Culebert were so startled, they shot out bursts of black ink and rose swiftly above the floor, speeding towards the surface. "What's going on?" panted Culebert.
"Nothing good, I think," said Patimo. "That thing is alive!"
The ropey net continued to rise, seeming to follow them. Through the murky water, they saw the rest of the school, seemingly unawares that a giant net was rising from the ocean floor all around them.
"Hey, look out!" cried Patimo. "There's something terribly wrong here!"
Culebert yelled, "Swim away, swim away! There's a giant webby net about to grab you!" The entire school of cuttlefish looked in amazement at the two. They never had heard either of them say much of anything, and now all of a sudden these two loners were actually trying to get their attention.
Look down, said Patimo. You need to swim away as fast as you can.
And the school of cuttlefish looked down and saw in the shimmery waters a giant net of thick brown rising up, now with some speed, off of the ocean floor. There was a flurry as the cuttlefish all darted this way and that. Some swam up, some swam to the left, others to the right. It was a fortunate day for that school of cuttlefish. The ropey substance was a giant net that a fishing vessel had laid down. They were dragging the bottom to catch anything they could, and of course, cuttlefish was on the menu. But that day, all the little cuttlefish got away, thanks to the two loners who had seen what was happening. Well, as one would expect, the entire school was grateful. Once they had grouped back together, they all cheered Patimo and Culibert. "You saved us," said one. "How can I thank you?" voiced another. Culibert's mother was particularly proud. "Thank you, son. You were a hero today." Culibert felt his face grow hot with embarrassment. He lowered his voice and his eyes and said, "Thanks, Ma." Of course, he turned even a darker pink as a result. He looked around nervously to see if any of the other cuttlefish would start to make fun of him. But today no one did. They were filled with joy that they had escaped the terrible net. His mother just grabbed him with four of her arms and hugged him. She whispered, "Yes, you are different in color, Cully. Have you ever thought that it might be a sign that you are special in a good way? It's a really wonderful thing that one of my children is unique. You stand out, Cully. Don't be afraid to accept the fact that you might have a special gift. Your pinkness is just a sign of the specialness that is inside of you." And his father looked at him with a grudging respect. "You did good today, son. Come over here and let your dad give you a big hug." And then for good measure, he added, "And let's thank your friend here. Can you join us for dinner tonight? I brought home some wonderful shrimp." Patimo didn't smile. He hardly ever did, but he replied, "Thanks." And so the family dined together, with Patimo joining them. Many other cuttlefish drifted by to chat, and both Culibert and Patimo found themselves the center of attention. It was a first for both of them, but in fairness, they both secretly liked the attention. It felt, well, good. No one ever thought of Culibert as grumpy after that, and even better, thought Culibert, none of them seemed to pay any attention to his pinkness. And Patimo and Culibert found themselves, more often than not, drifting back to the school of cuttlefish to share stories of their day's adventures. For even though they enjoyed their time together, they also found they enjoyed spending time with the others as well.
"We may be loners," said Patimo one day, "but we're an important part of the school. Every school needs those that are different to bring them new ideas and knowledge. I think it's what we do, don't you, Culibert?"
And Culibert agreed. "Yes, I'll always feel a little different, but that's a good thing, I think." And the two cuttlefish drifted off together to explore yet another mysterious cave. So we've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. And I welcome your feedback always. You can email me at guima@kciw.org. That's guima@kciw.org. See you next week. Same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll be traveling to Asia, a continent of ancient people and exotic and unusual legends. Stay safe, have fun, and let your imagination soar. This is Guima saying goodbye and happy reading. This has been a production of KCIWLP 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon.